Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
They could break here, Chelsea. This could be the moment. Frank Lampard for Chelsea. It's Carvalho to his right. Lampard for the title. Lampard! It's 2-0! It's Chelsea's championship! And 50 years of waiting have come to an end!
Lampard comes out to Essien!
Oh my goodness.
It's a counter-attack. Here's Didier Drogba. And now get down the middle. Drogba goes!
Chelsea 2,
Arsenal
0.
And Didier Drogba has...
Drogba in the centre!
McCoy just came from the back.
Possibly bleak as this. Drogba!
Madness. Never ended up in McDonald's. And I have had a trophy in long term. What the fuck did I take for the
fun? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Chelsea Hour. We've got a jam-packed episode today. I'm joined by some real touchline heavyweights, you know, a lot of favourites. We're joined by old faces, you know. I'm going to start with one of them. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm good, bro. What are you telling me?
Yeah, I'm not too well myself, man. Always good to have you on. And also, repping us today, we've got Meads. Meads, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Can't complain.
Good to hear. We'll see how that changes as we go along in the podcast today. And Tipson, how are you doing?
Very good, bro. Glad to be on.
Yeah, I can tell there's a lot of positive feeling. Maybe because we haven't played any football in a while, so... I'm going to probably take away that feeling and get straight into the nitty-gritty of it. 1-0, Newcastle, St. James's Park. Obviously, a lot of things went wrong on the day, starting with the lineup, going into the approach of the game. So I'm going to start with you, Mies. What do you think Potter got wrong? And what do you think he should have done going into the game in particular?
I feel like I'm being drawn out. Can you ask me first? Man, the lineup. I just remember seeing that attack and thinking, what the actual hell is going on? I mean, obviously, Lewis Hall had an impressive outing midweek against Man City. So I'm like, okay, you know, that makes sense for him to start. Obviously, Chilwell's out injured. Midfield, I weren't too sad about. But that attack of Broya, Gallagher and Mason Mount, I just knew what time it was, man. I knew Brozier was going to struggle. I knew he was going to suffer. And I knew ultimately that midfield would be a bit of an issue. That being said, to be honest, Jorginho, I felt he did quite well. But yeah, by and large, I always felt it was going to be a bad day. Newcastle generally is quite a tough place to go anyway. So with my distrust of Potter right now, I weren't really expecting much. I was shook, ultimately, and it kind of told in the end.
Got you, fair enough. And with the attack in particular, so obviously he had Mount and Gallagher in behind Brozier. So do you think there was a particular reason why Potter went with that approach, and why do you think he may have done that in particular on the day?
You know what? I think it might be... obviously, Raheem Sterling, World Cup, don't want to make the risk. I don't know. So maybe that probably played a factor. Probably wanted to give Brogiar just a little bit of a run because in terms of him starting, he's not really had much consistent starts. So I kind of understood that. The Mount and Gallagher thing, I didn't get it. I didn't actually get it at all. Maybe the idea was to, like, you know, have four midfielders there to really kind of create a box and dominate the midfield area. I generally can't. It was just, yeah, I can't actually understand it. We had Hutchinson on the bench, he didn't get on. So, yeah, for me, it was just very, very strange. If that's the time you want to experiment, fine, you know, that by all means do so. But with players that you've seen already, seen that aren't really doing it and cutting it in those positions, I don't know. Gallagher, for what it's worth, to be honest, when he did get a moment in a central figure, he did kind of come to the fore and start to make things happen. But it just was all quite messy, man. It was all very, very messy.
Fair enough, fair enough. And when we look at the makeup of the Newcastle team, sorry, and the way they approach games, so it's obviously going to be a really physical battle. They're going to try and bully you, and that's exactly what they did on the day. Do you think Potter kind of maybe underrated that aspect of the game? And do you think there may have been other things, other approaches that we could have done with? Because I know obviously a lot's been said about potentially playing on Omari Hutchinson, but do you think he could have maybe, even he may have even struggled in that kind of game? Because it felt as though a big part of Newcastle's game of the day was to be pressing from the front and just try and bully us in terms of like the physical duels.
Yeah. But I mean, look, with the physical side, I think even like, for example, people complain about Jorginho's lack of physicality, but I think he was evading the press with pretty much ease, I felt. You know, I think he got won a lot of fouls because they were onto him. And you're right, they were very, very aggressive. But I feel like when you're under pressure and when you when a team like Newcastle is pressing you, you need to have players that are actually quite good at retaining the ball. And Gallagher's ball retention, especially out wide, isn't there. Generally, his ball retention is quite loose. So with that, whenever the ball's going out wide, always is always going to come back to you, always fan back at you. Mason Mount's ball retention has fallen off a cliff this season and it's generally quite good, to be honest. If there's one thing that I'd say he is pretty decent at, is actually holding on to the ball pretty well. But again, the ball just kept coming back. When he got it wide, he kept getting snuffed out as well. Kovacic as well, I think he's kind of, I think the last couple of games as well, I'd say, he's been quite sloppy with his passing, sloppy with his retention of the ball as well. So again, it was really only Jorginho that was holding it down when it comes to, like, you know, being able to handle the press. Hutchinson, I think, would have probably given them a lot more to worry about. I feel like with Dan Byrne had an easy game, you know, I think Dan Byrne had one of the easiest games of his career because he had nothing to really worry about in terms of an attacking sense. Mason Mount didn't trouble Trippier at all. So, yeah, it was just a pretty easy game for their defenders. And I feel like there's a big understatement when it comes to attack being a defensive weapon, because a lot of teams, their approaches will change if they're up against a dangerous attack. Where Chelsea have a tepid attack, they're not going to be scared. Therefore, it's going to be the onus and a lot of the work is going to be falling on your defenders to do work. And I think that's what a lot of people miss the trick. When I say, oh, no, we don't need necessarily defenders, midfielders, I don't say that as like, okay, look, there's, you know, it's not an issue that needs to be fixed. But I always say fix the attacks first and foremost, because that is your first line of defense. Because teams will care. Teams will worry. People will be scared about your attackers doing damage. You get me? And I think that has been missed, not only by Tuchel, but previous managers too. I think it's been a big problem for a while.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely.
Definitely agreed. And coming on to you, Jay, so what did you think? What did you make of the Newcastle game? Where do you think the game was lost for us in particular?
I just think, to be honest with you, I think it still comes down to the same thing that we've been complaining about for a year. So, like, me's touching it at the end there, but, like, just sometimes you can play, like, really bad. Like, you can have a poor patch even as a team. Like, 4 or 5 games, you might not be playing well. But normally a big team, they have at least 2 guys that you'd be genuine, that you genuinely worry about them. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in to say, like, in your team talk, you're telling defenders, like, listen, don't let this guy get time on the ball. Don't let him turn. Or if it's a midfielder, you're telling him, don't let him get his head up because he will hurt us. Or if it's like what it's been recently and it's like someone like Reece James, who's so lethal in terms of in the wide areas, or if he gets a shot on the edge of the box or something like that, or, you know, he's so good at like popping up in them areas, like on the right where he gets into the box and he's got a clean shot on goal. It's like you'd worry about that. But problem with Chelsea, and it's been like this for, like me just said, for a while now, is that we genuinely don't have anybody that people worry about anymore. And that's what our bit, before anything, I feel like that's our biggest issue going into games. And I used to say, not just about the attack, I used to say about wing backs as well, like last season. So, like, obviously with Alonso, everybody knew about goal threat and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of marking him and playing him in the game, I don't think people really worried about him like that because he's not that kind of a threat. And with Aspie, it's the same thing. So, like, with Cucurella, I think even when Cucurella plays for us now, it's like he's more of a passer. Like, he kind of fizzes the ball into the attackers and stuff like that. But he's not necessarily someone that you're going to be worried about 1v1. Do you get what I'm saying? So then we've got nothing coming from wing backs. We've got nothing coming from Gallagher and Mount because they play the game in front of you more time. And then obviously you've got Broja, but what's the point? Like, you're not going to have to worry about him if there's nobody really playing him in like that. So that's why it was so easy for Newcastle. And I think the biggest disappointment in that game was that if I wanted to see anything from Mason and Gallagher, it would have been, don't let them man breathe. Don't let that defence and all them guys get the ball and have all the time in the world. And it was the complete opposite. Like, they had all the time in the world to play their passes. Trippier was relaxed. Dan Burn was relaxed. Botman was having a field day, like, with Broja. And Broja's not an easy player to play against.
It was easy, man. It was easy. Yeah.
Broja's not an easy player to play against. Like, he can bully you. Like, he can really get into your face, like, if he wants to. But it's just, he didn't get anything from
Do you know
that,
what it is, Jay? You know what it is? I completely agree. And I just feel like our press, yeah, since Potter's come in, our press has been horrible. Like, horrible. And obviously, it's one thing, like, this is the thing. Where people say, oh, yeah, Mason Mount's amazing presser, yeah? That's cool. Great presser. But it's only good when, you know, systematically it's actually a unit thing. So he's the trigger. And then it's not like, because the thing is with it now, yeah, we'll even get gaping spaces. And it's where we're doing like a half press almost. And like one pass and you're through us. It's actually horrible. Horrible. Mm. And like, obviously, like, I think even under Tuchel, earlier this season especially, I think the pressing, especially from Mount side, it was just pretty just poor. You know what I mean? And I just feel like right now, the players, the way that they're just going about things is just really, really poor. And obviously, Potter has to take some accountability because I think that the way he's setting us up just structurally is really poor. You get me? So I think that's not helping us at all. I don't think that's helping Mount or Gallagher to really impose themselves on the game in terms of the pressing side. So I it's not good. It's not good, man.
I'm coming on to you, Timson. So, looking at the game in particular, our approach to it, do you think there was any possibility that we could have come away with the 3 points if we went with a different approach, or do you think it was just a set result that we weren't ever going to win that game?
Well, there's always a chance if you do something different to what clearly didn't work. In terms of the observations for what went wrong specifically, I noted 2 things. One, we just did not know how to deal with their press. So Chelsea just tend to struggle with athletic, energetic pressing teams. Potter hasn't discovered a tactic to beat these pressing, whether it's going long, whether it's intricate passes with the midfield and defence linking up, someone from attack dropping in to create overloads in midfield. He just hasn't decided and narrowed, honed in on a specific way to beat the press. And against Newcastle specifically, we didn't have the quality when on the ball to deal with their press. So ultimately, we were going long. And Armando Broja is 6'3". What is Armando Broja is no small guy, but Armando Broja is 6'3", 21 years old, and what, he probably weighs about 60, 80 kg, apparently, based on what I can see online. You put him up against aerial balls against Fenn Botman, who's 6'5", and Dan Burn, who's 6'6", and 87 kg. What is he meant to do? And even if he does manage to hold the ball, the gap between him and the rest of the attackers and midfield is so wide that it was bound to break down, especially with the intensity that Newcastle were pressing with. And then to raise your point about Mason Mount and Conor Gallagher specifically, it was disappointing because I would think that those two starting in a game would be for energy. So I've kind of likened Conor Gallagher to a double espresso, just a strong shot of energy going into a midfield in specific moments in a game, especially games when you're on top, so he can do what he likes to do, which is affect things in the final third. But that pressing game, that counter-pressing game, was just not there against Newcastle. And that was one of the most disappointing things, in addition to the lack of quality in playing out from the back and trying to beat Newcastle's press.
Very well put. And coming back onto you, Ameed, in terms of the attacking threat and where we do, like, in terms of that being our first line of defence. Looking at how we've played this season in terms of, like, who's actually played in attack, what would your ideal front three be that could potentially allow us to pose a bit more of a threat to defences?
Honestly, I wouldn't even play it as a three. I'd probably go to a 4-2-3-1. Only because I feel like where you have Aspie, who barely moves going forward. I mean, he does have the other game where he's obviously venturing forward, but I really wouldn't want him up there. And I just feel like when... I think Kai, I'd include him purely because I think he's probably one of the only few players that I personally think actually gets a bit busy. I think there's obviously games where he's very, very passive and pretty much non-existent. But I'd probably play him as the 10. Raheem left wing, Aubameyang up top, and right wing. You know what? Of all players that have played in the attack this season under Potter, I do think Pulisic, when he has played, although it's not been great, I wouldn't say that I've left the match thinking, oh yeah, he's been horrible today. I think Pulisic, at the very least, has tried things. It may have not come off entirely, but he's tried things. And yeah, I think we just need dribblers out wide. And I think if he's playing right wing or left wing out, I'd just put him out wide, man. Obviously, if it's not him, then probably Hutchinson. Simply because I want literally players that can open up a game. And obviously, I've seen Hutchinson for the youth team. I've seen him for Arsenal as well. He's a very impressive young player. And there's a lot to ask of him. It's a lot to ask of him as a 19-year-old. But I feel like our attack is in so much disarray, and we've got so many players, but it's so messy, and just no one's really of like a super elite level to like stand out. So, you know, you could put any combination of the attack and you're still going to have the same issue where it's not going to be potent or super threatening enough, if that makes any sense. Obviously, Raheem, you guys know I had my reservations about Raheem for some time. He's not been great, but I do think he can score. But yeah, the way it's been going for him under Potter has just not been great at all, to be honest. It's a bit of a mad one. Obviously, we need fresh blood. I don't think the players are as bad as, you know, they're playing. But I also think a lot of them are probably at the end of their cycle. where, you know, Chelsea are trying to kick on and move on to different things, but they're just still here.
Agreed. And I think a big thing you just said is being at the end of the cycle. It's something that Ivan wanted us to move on with, you know, eventually, you know, for the last couple of seasons, you know, just bringing a new fresh set of players that have a new set of hunger. Because I know Pep Guardiola spoke about it with Rio Ferdinand, where he asked him the simple question of, given how many titles you've won, you know, during your Premier League career with Man United, how many of them were with the same players? And he literally said none of them. And I feel like looking at a team at that level whereby they're consistently winning leagues, and the fact that they themselves need to consistently have a refresh, you know, bring in new blood. I mean, you compare it to a team that hasn't been as successful in the Premier League. I feel like it kind of like leaves you your own answer there anyway from that question. So coming back onto you, Meads, you know, you've really spoken about your distrust of Potter currently. So what does Potter need to do for you to turn it around, given the current players that we've got?
Oh, it's very simple for me. I think structurally, you need to put in place a structure that not only the players understand, but one that you stick by, and you're not chopping and changing every single week. You know, every single week. I think structurally we are a complete joke, and we're so easy to play against. So I think if he was to improve the structure and get us to a position where we actually looked relatively organised, because obviously I love free-flowing football, but there needs to be a structure in place. You know, Man City don't play the way that they play. They don't play free. There's not like there's always patterns, and I don't see any patterns of play at Chelsea at the minute. When I say that, it's very reminiscent of Frank Lampard. I'm not saying it to be disrespectful. It is literally what I'm seeing. The first two games, obviously, I saw a lot of similarities to what I saw under Tuchel. But the one main thing that I saw that was different was how quickly we're trying to play, which was like, okay, you know what, fair enough. He's trying to play quickly. He's trying to get us to move it quickly and move it faster. We're trying to move more vertically into the box a lot more quicker. I'm like, okay, fair enough. I see it. But since then, it's just looked a complete and utter mess. Players don't look like they know what they're doing. It just looks very, very amateurish. So I feel like, yeah, one, establishing a pattern of play. Two, getting a structure that's organised. Get players playing. Because right now, there's not a single player that looks good. Thiago Silva, I guess. But even Thiago Silva, for me, I think he's just a great defender. But even Thiago Silva, I feel, will be making little silly errors because he's unsure of what's around him. He's unsure of who he can pass it to trust with the ball. Because right now, the system feels like it's failing. So it's almost like everyone looks at least a level or two below their best. And that's a very big concern. Very big concern. Because that means when you're a level two or two below your best, especially in the Prem, anyone could beat you. Anyone could touch you. And if that's consistent, we're going to be in big trouble for a period of time. You know what I mean? So for him to turn it around, he needs to... Whilst it's simple in my eyes, obviously it's not. But when I say those are the two simple things that I feel like for him to turn it around, those are the things that he needs to do. For me, that's the real thing. I don't really care about the transfers or whatever. No, structurally, he needs to improve. And tactically, he needs to improve massively, man. Because it's not on. It's not on.
Very well put, and I think I agree with you on probably all of those points. Coming on to you, Jay, do you think there's a reason why we haven't seen a structural improvement under Potter, and why do you think that may be?
To be fair to him, in his defence, I do think the circumstances that he's come into compared to like a lot of the managers, like when you look at the games that we've just recently lost as well, in terms of the teams we lost against, Arsenal are pretty much like in their kind of like not final form, but they're not far from it. You've got Eddie Howe, who's already had 6 months with Newcastle, already had Bruno G there last season as well. So, like, in terms of the way they've been working, they're probably further ahead than us as well. Who else did we play? United, I think I think they're in a similar situation, but I think United have got a few more players that are at least showing some kind of quality, especially like in the final third at times, like they can win a game or whatever. You've got your Bruno Fernandes, who as much as he can play crap or whatever, he can just win you a game. But they have also plugged areas that are actually really important for them. So like Casemiro, for example, Martinez at the back, for example. And I think they're obviously operating with more consistency, but they've also had that pre-season as well where they got to find out who was up for the challenge and who was going to really like play well in the team or whatever. So kind of like they've made their mistakes early, whereas Potter was always going to... I feel like some of these games were always going to come for Potter because of when he's come in as well. And that's more on the owners than obviously himself, because obviously the owners should have just been... I think the owners should have just been kind of straightforward from the beginning. You either go with Tuchel or you go with Potter from the very beginning. And that way you kind of avoid some of this stuff. I'm not saying it would have been perfect, but I do think you would avoid so much confusion and, you know, who you want at the club and transfers and all this kind of stuff. But in terms of just, if we concentrate on him being here now and why he's struggling now, I think it's also because of what he believes is the best way to kind of teach his way of playing. And I think he said earlier on, he said that he doesn't really focus on formation. He focuses more on all the players being comfortable in the squad with the way that he wants to play, which would explain why you see so much chopping and changing, why you see so many different formations. Whether we think it's right or wrong, this is obviously what he believes. So that kind of explains a lot, because he's trying to make sure that basically everybody that is playing in this squad that comes in from the bench or starts or whatever, you can play the way he wants to play. The only thing I'd say is wrong with that is that at Brighton, you were pretty sure about who was still going to be at your club next season. The circumstances weren't anything like this. Whereas with Chelsea, I think it's dangerous to kind of come into it like that and kind of stick to that way when 60% of this squad might not even be the same next season. Do you understand? A couple could go in Jan. A few more could go in summer. All of a sudden, you've got like 6 or 7 players that he was working with. They're gone. Do you understand? So for me, what I would do is I would focus on... What I think he should do is focus more on the players that he can trust, that he can kind of like guess will still be here, because it's going to be up to him as well. But there's also players that he can't help, kind of like in terms of renewing their contracts and that. So like people like Jorginho, Kante. I'm not saying Jorginho shouldn't start because he's been one of the better players on the Potter, but you know, like you're not sure if Kante is going to be here. Kovacic has spoken about maybe a new challenge, like you're not sure if he's going to be here. So like it's just a weird kind of, I don't know, it's a weird season for me in terms of like if you're going to kind of try and coach all these players to play the way you want to play, but then, you know, come summertime, half of them are not here. So he needs to kind of get that consistency going with at least 6 or 7 guys in the team, at least, so that he's got some kind of foundation to work with. Because otherwise, he's just going to... I feel like he's going to find it very difficult. Because these guys also lack quality. Like Brighton, I know we don't like to talk about Brighton because it's obviously his former team and that. But there's a lot of guys in that Brighton team that got more quality, bro. Like, we have to be honest. Like,
like who?
I think like for at the moment, for example, in midfield, I feel like if you're getting Loftus-Cheek to play that role that you're getting him to play now, Caicedo is going to play that role better than him. Do you understand? It's not even... I don't even think it's a combo. Like it's clean as... it's clear as day. But that's not necessarily saying that. Say that again.
Do you know I'm going to disagree?
In that role,
I'm going to say that, yes.
RLC ain't better than Caicedo in that role.
Maybe not. Who knows? But here's what I'm going to say. When you're at Chelsea, for example, I think playing for Chelsea and playing for Brighton are two different beasts. And people need to recognise that. At Chelsea, the expectations of what you can do or what you should be doing with the football, not the same as Brighton. It's not, and despite the fact Brighton play, that's the thing. But the expectations, what you're demanded of, is very, very different. The respect that you get is very, very different. You know what I mean? Like you can't pluck guys from Brighton, put them here and expect them to play as well as it is Brighton, even if the coach is the same. I personally wouldn't expect it, because Chelsea as a team have a different set of expectations. That's how I view it. I feel the biggest issue and biggest concern that I've had on the Potter, though, isn't necessarily the chopping and changing thing. This is him. Like, this is him. He done it at Brighton. Yeah. He done it at Brighton. So this is what you expect, right? But his idea is that there should be a consistency, regardless of who's playing. There should be a consistency of regardless of formation. Well, football doesn't really work like that. And this is no surprise. And this is what no surprise why he always used to get mixed results at Brighton. Like, his results used to be a mess. Like, there used to be like 10 game runs where he's not winning, 5 game runs where he's losing, because he's chopping and chaining all the time. You get?
But I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that was the. But the step. But the thing is, what I'd say about that is the results thing. You're right. Like, they were up and down. But I think what stayed consistent though was that the way his team played, they would still play majority of the time. They would still be the team that played a better football.
That's not true. I'm not having that.
I think they had the same issue, similar issue that Chelsea had up top, which was they would create opportunities, but the problem was they didn't have anybody, and they haven't had anybody for a very long time at Brighton that could get more than 15, 20 goals.
What's changed this season
for Brighton?
Same team. Yeah, same team. Barely any attackers have changed. They got a McAllister.
Nothing's changed, but productivity from people like Trossard has gone up, though.
Yeah, okay, and that's why I'm asking you. What's changed? You were just talking about players, and the same issue about this is what I'm trying to get at. We're talking about players not having the quality to, you know, in terms of the goal scoring quality, didn't have that before, but they suddenly got it this season. You know, it happened under Potter and the Zerbi, right? What I'm saying is, the way I'm looking at it, Potter and Zerbi this season, there's been a level of consistency in the team that he's picking. As a result, their productivity, their capacity has been far better. Zerbi's not changing like a Potter is. Potter used to change that every single week. But these men now are playing consistently. As a result, their productivity shoots up. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all. You know what I mean? Not to mention, I think Deserby's probably a better coach than him as well. But even under Potter, Trossard was getting goals. You know what I mean? So it's like, his issue for me is lack of consistency. But he's expecting consistency from players that aren't playing every week. It don't make sense. Like,
do you think if he plays these forwards consistently, you think they're going to start scoring?
Potentially, yeah. I think so. I think most players.
We saw it under Tuchel, though.
Yeah, but no. But that's the thing. Nobody was playing consistently. The only one that was playing consistently was Mason Mount. And what happened to Mason Mount's numbers? He was scoring goals. It wasn't a great amount, but he scored goals because he was consistently playing. I think if you play people consistently enough, they will get numbers. Doesn't mean that they're going to get astronomical numbers, but they will get better numbers than they did. If Havertz is only playing, 15 games a season or starting 15 games a season in the league and play me get like 25 appearances, you get an odd 50 minutes, he's not going to score the goals. Like, this is why I look at what he's doing with Brozier and Aubameyang. Doesn't make sense to me, because you should give it to Aubameyang or give it to Brozier. Let them play and then let the other guy come in and get their... Because how are you going to get consistency?
That's the thing, though. With us, I think it's tough because when you play, you could play one of our attackers for 4 or 5 games. And I think the problem is, out of those 5 games, sometimes you might only get one really good one, that really good performance. And then you've got 5 performances where they're kind of like a couple of them are okay. You might have one that's really, really good and one that's like good. And then it's like, but in those 5 games, they also, on top of that, what you're looking at, performance, because you can't just look at numbers. You look at performance as well, obviously. So even just because they don't score or assist, if they've had a good performance, you still give them another run in it because they're performing. But I think the difference between when I've watched, say for example, Brighton and when I watch Chelsea is that Chelsea, like Brighton's guys, they might not get on the score sheet, they might not get an assist, but they still look like they're performing well. With our attackers, I feel like, not only are we not getting the numbers, but there are some horrible, horrible performances in there. And that's what leads, that's what often has led, even for Tuchel. And I always said this, people say, oh, why is Tuchel chopping and changing? Why don't he trust any of these attackers? Bro, because you need to give him something to trust, bro. Like, you have to give him something.
And I don't disagree.
Weren't giving him anything.
I don't disagree, but here's my view, right? In order to repay a manager's faith, more by and large, they should be helping you and trusting you when you're down. Do you get it?
Mm.
I don't think Tuchel's given that to anyone. I don't think Potter's given that to anyone. But obviously, Brighton is a different beast, isn't it? I can't say I watch them every single week.
No, same.
But Tuchel at Chelsea, for example, the only person I'd say that who he trusted consistently to find form or you know, repay his faith was Mason Mount. As a result, Mason Mount played pretty much every other every game. You know, and the moments that Mount was not playing well, for an extended period of time, Tuchel brought him out. You get, I don't think, like, that happened last season. It happened this season as well. Mount got dropped, I think, for one game or so. So I think, generally, there's been no player, you know, and there's been no player at Chelsea, bar Mount, that's had a consistent run in the team. Like, and I feel like, whilst we say, oh, Dave, you need to give someone, you know, you need to give him a coach something to trust, I don't think Liverpool have that issue. I think, for example, if Diaz ain't scoring goals for a couple of weeks, I think he still might be in the team. You see what I'm saying? I think if Salah, like, for example, even Salah at the beginning of his Liverpool career wasn't scoring goals. He wasn't scoring goals for time. And then he suddenly exploded because he was consistently, he was trusted even throughout those periods where he weren't scoring goals. At his very first season at Liverpool, I think he went like 5 games without a goal or something like that at the beginning. And then he exploded. Do you get it? I think that, and a big issue with what I'm saying, like my biggest issue as well, and I've said this for years now, Chelsea have too many players and too many in the attack. So you have to, as a manager, you have this temptation like not to stick with a guy because you're like, you've got 5 other guys. But if you sell everyone, this is what I was desperate for Tuchel to do, because I always have been a believer that if you have too many guys, you've got too many mouths to feed, there's going to be people that bitch. There's going to be people that bitch, oh, why am I not playing? XX is playing all the time. Why am I not playing? You know what I mean? If you have too many players, that's what happens. But if you have like a smaller squad, yeah, and then they all know that potentially, you know what, I'm not behind 5-man. I'm not behind 4-man, you know? It's just, for example, Mason has a bad couple of weeks, I can slot in. I'll be patient. I'll wait. I'll still be hungry. But these men, they've got like 6 other men on the bench. Like, why do you think Hudson said, no, I absolutely have to go? You know what I mean? I absolutely have to go. Because there's too many men. You get it? And if Potter, and my biggest fear is that Potter's a man that loves to chop and change. So if he likes to chop and change, that means he might actually like to have options. And that's what's scary. Because you're adding more players to this mess. And there's going to be no one that gets consistency. So Nkunku could come tomorrow, yeah? Have 2-3 bad games. Maybe 4 or 5 bad games to cost £60 million. But then everyone's calling him a dub. Then it's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, it's not really working for him right now. Let's not persist. We've got 5 other men like Pulisic, Ziyech, that, you know, I'm a new manager, so I've got Pulisic, Ziyech. Let's give them another chance, whatever. Bring them in. And Nkunku on the bench. Confidence already shot within like 5 weeks of being there. Do you get it? That's the problem that Chelsea have. Too many players. Too many players. It's a big, big mess, you know? And that's something that's it's accumulation of Sarri, Lampard, Tuchel. It's a whole, obviously Tuchel, less so Tuchel, in fact, more so Tuchel as well, because he bought Aubameyang, Sterling, Lukaku. Do you get it? So there's so many issues that need addressing. And I don't think it all falls on Potter. But given the way that he's managing the squad, I'm very, very concerned because I think he would like to have loads of players. And if that's the case, we're going to have the same issue where people are going to say, oh, Chelsea, kill attackers, blah, blah, blah. It's just going to be the same thing. We need a manager that likes a small squad because this ain't it. This really ain't it. You get it?
Well put, Needs. Well put. And I think that's definitely something that within the Chelsea group, we've all agreed on the fact that it is a big mess in the squad. It does need to be cold. And we need to have a bit more consistency in the attack because without that consistency, you know, you're not going to be able to see what a group of players are going to want to do over a period of games throughout a season. I listened to the Touchy Gooners podcast and they spoke about Liverpool's Premier League winning team. I believe 9 of their starting 11 started 34 or more league games. So that just shows you just how important consistency actually is throughout a season in terms of having like an actual successful season. So Timson, we haven't heard from you in a while, so I'm going to come over to you and get your thoughts on the squad and what's currently going on. Where do you currently lie with the attack? And ideally for you, what would you like to see in terms of if you need cold, and what would you like to see going forward in terms of like the attacking numbers and who gets to stay?
Yeah, I would say there definitely needs to be some sort of culling. There's too many players, and when you have too many players, there's too many potential players unhappy and kind of spoiling the rest of the squad by making a big fuss. I'm not sure I want a small squad, but a smaller squad, because if we're trying to compete on all four fronts, having options to deal with like injury rushes that impact the squad like this would be important. And we still look at Arsenal and we say they're doing really well, they're flying, but they're one or two key injuries away. I'd rather have potential. I'd rather have depth to say, look, we could be down to the bare bones, as opposed to we're in trouble. Now, I agree with a lot of what Mead said in terms of Potter likes to rotate, he likes to change things. And I said, in contrast, I understand being able to coach fluidly is one of the core principles he's trying to instill in his current Chelsea squad. But I'm someone who prefers the way Klopp did it. So he had a set system and he just refined that system to deal with multiple tactics from opposition. So he kept his 4-3-3, but he said he coached them to operate differently against a team that played a back three, that played a 4-2-3-1, played a 4-3-3, or within those different systems tried to attack differently. So that team nominally played the same formation, but they were so refined that they tactically were diverse enough to deal with all opposition tactical threats and deal with them accordingly to get the win. So in terms of the overall squad, there definitely needs to be a culling. And I agree with, once again, with what Mead said in that you bring in Nkunku, but he doesn't score because the rest of the squad hasn't necessarily been fixed, in the sense that where's a DM? There's still a lot of guys in the squad taking up space that aren't really performing. So I'm one of those radicals that would probably have a massive clear out. And I'm talking about your Georgies, your Kantes, your Covers. Not because I don't like them. I've had my issue with some of them because of injuries and some of them because I don't think they add much. But just because we already know what they're going to give us, just for a clearer and just to give Potter that opportunity to start again and make the team his, I'll clear these guys out, because it's already been clear that we've seen the best that they can give us in a Chelsea shirt, and I would like to just move on from that era of midfielders, because at the minute they're just kind of blocking up potential for more players to come through and show what they can do if they can grow. And we can get definitive answers if a Gallagher is good enough, if a Mount really is deserving of the faith that managers are putting him. So, yeah, it's not all on him, obviously. He's dealing with a multitude of, several managers, personnel. So I want him to have the opportunity to build a squad. But at the same time, I'm not blindly going trust Potter, trust the process.
Simpson, I've got a question.
Yes, you.
I've got a question. So where obviously you're saying you want to change pretty much every area of the squad, essentially, in one go.
I'm not saying in one go, but it would be ridiculous to change it. It'd have to be gradual, of course.
Right. So that's what I was saying, like, in terms of like,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Not good enough. Okay, the defense is not good. Do you know what I mean? Because let's put it like this, yeah? Remember under Tuchel, we had a great defense. We had Rudiger performing out of his skin, Thiago Silva. Then you got a choice of Azpilicueta, Christensen, even Chalobah, for example, last season. It was fantastic, by and large. You had your wing-backs. You had, what's his name, Chilwell, and you had Reece James. Obviously, when they were both fit, that back five certified. We knew what we're getting from them. We knew they're certified. Obviously, N'Golo, we know exactly what we're getting from him. Jorginho, for me, like under Tuchel, he was very, very good, very reliable. Obviously, there's certain deficiencies in his game that we all know about. But ultimately, if the system is functioning, he's pretty much good enough. And we're good with him. Kovacic for me, was probably one of our best players last season when he was fit and available. Now, the attack has always been the issue, right? I feel if you fix the attack first and foremost, because these are the same players, yeah? Maybe a year or two on from, you know, us winning things, but let's put it like this. If you fix the attack, and the attack, even when we won things, was still an issue. Fix the attack. See where that takes you. And see how badly we need said midfielder or how badly we need said defender. I think it will give us a far clearer idea as to what we need if we fix that attack first and foremost. Because I think under Tuchel, pertinently than Potter, we were entering the final third consistently, entering into the penalty area consistently, but choices were poor. Mount shooting into bodies, Havertz not seeing the pass, Pulisic trying to dribble, Ziyech whipping it, like spam crossing it or shooting. You know what I mean? The decision making of the players was shocking. You know what I mean? To the point where I remember at times where you're seeing Tuchel on the touchline going absolutely mental at the players and their decision making. So could it be the players? Probably, maybe, who knows? But I think if you change that attack, you get a clearer idea. And then obviously, like I said, that may be the first line of defense. One, two, I think that will give you a clear idea. Okay, if, for example, there is a deficiency, say, for example, Kovacic blatantly going to be injury prone or is underperforming for a period of time, you're like, okay, you know what, Kovac, you got to go. You know what I mean? It'll give you a better idea of making a fairer assessment. I think right now, it's just too, for me, it's too evident. The attack needs to be changed. And it doesn't necessarily need to be personnel change, but the way the attack is structured, the way the attack is utilized in terms of using so many bodies, that needs to change. Because otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in this mess all over again. Even if you get a whole bunch of new players. You sell Havertz, Mount, Pulisic, Ziyech, Aubameyang, Sterling, Broya, sell them all. And then you bring in another 8 players. You're going to get the same issue. Do you get it? For me, anyway. That's my belief. You have the same issue.
No, I mean, there's some common ground I think we have in regards to this attack. So one of the things that started to win me over to Potter's side is the way we started. So the fact that we were scoring more than 2 and 3 goals somewhat regularly at the start of his reign, I thought, has he got this attack firing? And that looked to be the case for a period of time, because for years I felt like Chelsea's attack has been coming up short under Lampard, under Tuchel. Tuchel kind of crafted this pragmatic style that was tactically solid, but it kind of grounded out results. Wasn't pretty to watch at times, but it grounded out results. But the attack was never really firing. So when he had the likes of Mason Mount, Sterling scoring goals, I thought, okay, maybe this is the guy to take us forward. But now we've seen that the attack has regressed and it's looking dire at times, particularly in the Newcastle and Arsenal games. And a lot of the signings that I want to make in other positions, some of the reasons why I want to bring certain players in. So, for example, right in defence, I would love to bring back Ian Maatsen and Dujon Sterling because they add value in attack. So obviously that helps towards that helps facilitate the actual attackers. Also, I'm pro a DM for sure, just because it would be very nice to have a defense first minded midfielder capable of anchoring a midfield on his own to allow your Mason Mount, your Conor Gallagher's or Ruben Loftus-Cheeks to bomb forward and focus more on attack in the games where we're playing against opposition that aren't really troubling us. So that's a DM to help further facilitate our attack. And then even in that attacking space, I listed some players in like before you jumped on, before we started recording. I listed a couple of players who have just X factor, the ability to beat a man one-on-one and create things just because I feel like that's what we're lacking. So yeah, I do think the attack is a major issue and I would like to facilitate that as best we can. Like you said, doesn't necessarily mean personnel changes. I think personnel changes would help, but the attack just needs to be, the attack definitely needs to be looked at because even if the defence is poor, even if the midfield is poor, like let's look at Liverpool before they signed Van Dijk. They had their attack, which was certified. They could still outscore teams. Straight shootout, they had their attack to bail them out. Our attack is our biggest liability for large portions of this season and last season. So, yeah, it's definitely an issue that I would definitely prioritise outside of one or two key positions. Like, you take Reece James out of the equation, we definitely need a competent right-back. At this moment in time. But besides that, and possibly a DM, I would definitely put everything I can into revitalising the attack.
Yeah. I just remember the Liverpool, even when people use Liverpool as an example, I feel like, that Liverpool had that attack on smash. They had that attack on smash before they got Van Dijk, before they got Alisson. They had the attack. It was there. It was ready. You know what I mean? And that changed everything. That changed everything because it put you in a position where you fear Liverpool. You fear their attack. And then they got the defender in January. They got Van Dijk in January. Then they got Alisson the summer after. And that transformative impact. I feel like if you build from anywhere else other than the attack, I think you missed the opportunity to really see what that team's about. Because other than Van Dijk and Alisson, they didn't really have that much. They didn't change much else. You know, that attack was certified. They added Van Dijk. They got Alisson in goal. They didn't really change much else, to be honest. I mean,
yeah. Who are teams afraid of when it comes to Chelsea? Oh, we're playing Chelsea. Obviously, Chelsea are a big club. But who are we fearing? Even you look at Spurs, they're fearing Kulusevski, Son when he's on form, Harry Kane, like even Rashford when he's on his game, Martial, like Garnacho, like Anthony. There's a fear factor with those attacks. There's no fear factor with us.
That's the thing. The only fear factor you have when you come up against Chelsea is you're up against an elite manager. And we don't have that anymore. So it's just a mess. You don't even have that anymore. We don't even have that. When teams, especially Champions League, big games, they knew they were coming to Chelsea. They knew they were going to get the game of their life because they knew tactically we'll be on it. But now we're not even, it's not even that. People come to Chelsea with no fear of players, no fear of the manager. So it's a jolly up. You know what I'm saying? It's a complete jolly up. Babs, I kind of want to get your thoughts. Because obviously you've been hosting, so you've been hiding behind the hosting mic. I want to kind of get your thoughts. What do you think the main issues are? And in terms of Potter, what have you seen from Potter that gives you some degree of confidence that he could be the right person to take this club forward?
Cool. Perfect. So in terms of what I've seen so far and what I've seen from Potter that gives me confidence, I think for me is the man management aspect. I feel like a lot of people haven't been happy with the fact that, you know, you said that, players have given effort, you know, in terms of the public eye. But I think personally, when you look at the history of Chelsea's managers, you know, in terms of like who's had the best relationship with players, you'll look at obviously like a Jose, just because of like the siege mentality he brought about. But eventually, the guys did eventually fall out of them. You know, you had the whole free rats thing and all that kind of stuff. Then you look at the other guy who had an amazing relationship with the players that plays to this day, even in praise, you know, in Carlo Ancelotti. You know, a big part of his management style was the man management aspect. And I feel like with a Graham Potter, we've really seen that here at Chelsea, whereby he's not, you know, throwing any players under the bus. He's not saying, you know, the squad is terrible in any sort of aspect. I feel like we're going to see a lot more of that kind of stuff being dealt in the back room, if that makes sense. So for me personally, I think that's like a really big positive, because then you actually keep the players on your side, you know, at the end of the day. And I feel like it's going to take a while for fans to get used to that, because obviously we're a lot more used to, you know, a bit more honest managers in that regard, you know, in the press. But I feel like that's definitely one thing that I've liked so far. I think also not just that. Go on.
Sorry, bro. It's just a quick one. So obviously, it's only been like three or four months that Potter's been here. So I don't expect him to be pamming players straight away. Like, I just don't, you know. Because remember, even Tuchel, he went pamming, but it took Tuchel a long time. It took him a long time to finally say, "Yeah, issue." Same players, same results. It took him a lot. It took about 15 months to really.
That weren't the first pamming, though. I think the first pamming was when he double subbed Cho.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh, yeah.
Shouting on the sidelines. Yeah.
That weren't the first pamming, but I'm saying that even with the Cho sub, he tried to rationalize it in his perspective, and even after the game, he said and admitted this. I remember it because I was like, "No, Tuchel, you've done him wrong." Regardless of his explanation, he said, "I may have been biased because he was right next to me. So I may have been annoyed and just took it out on him because he was right in front of me. And I don't think the attack was pressing well. So I took him off again." He admitted it. He admitted that he could have been biased and he could have seen it wrong. I think he was completely wrong. Because I remember Joe coming on and the press was fine. Like, yeah. I think that was completely wrong, flat out wrong. But at least he said it, right? But I'm talking about actual saying, "You know what? Yeah, nah, these guys just ain't it." It took him a long time. It took him a very, very long time to actually come out and say it. Do you know what I'm saying? So Potter is, you can't, for me, I won't give him praise after 3 months of not, you know, saying, "Oh, yeah, these players ain't good enough." You know, it may take him a year. It may take him 2 years. But he will still eventually come to that conclusion if he was to stick with these guys, in my personal opinion. So I can't give him credit for that. But, you know, that's me anyway.
That's fair. That's fair. But in terms of how the season's gone, I'm not really surprised, because we're in the same group chat. You've seen that a lot of what I've complained about has been consistent over the years, in the fact that I just don't think the squad's balanced enough. In the fact that when you look at a Chelsea team, yeah, we don't have a lot of threat and attack, but you know we're going to attack down the left-hand side in an attack, and then we're going to attack with Reece James at right wing back. And when you don't have Reece James at right wing back, you don't have any other right hand side threat, and you've got Aspinall become very, very predictable. And I feel like having to rely on Reece James, who you know is going to be injured consistently every single season, and he has been throughout his Chelsea career, I think that's just like one of our biggest mistakes. And then you look in terms of our front line, as bad as it is, I feel like if you have a right winger there that offers you a bit more balance, you know, in your attack, that can allow you to take more pressure off your other side of your attack, I feel like you're going to be able to do a lot more in that regard. I think, you look at the midfield, same on Usher for me for the last couple of years. The guys have been injury prone. You know, you've got Kovacic, who coming back from injury, probably should have had his surgery, you know, and he hasn't been in the best of form this season. He hasn't really performed as well as he can do. You know, Kante, we don't even know when he's going to come back. You know, like at the beginning of the season, it was said he was going to be back, you know, in, was it September? Then it was November. You know, I'm now reading online that it's potentially going to be February. So trying to rely on that kind of midfielder where you know you're not going to get him throughout a season, I feel like that's just poor squad planning. And then when you look at also the DM issue, for me, my issue isn't with Jorginho. My issue more so is the fact that we don't have anybody that's able to rotate from and take away the load, because we already know that Jorginho, and it's been said previously that he has these mental lapses whereby if he's like been running to the ground a bit too much, he's going to be a lot more prone to mistakes. And when you know that for 2+ seasons, I feel like you should probably put a bit more effort into that. And I know we obviously brought Zachary on alone, but that was obviously a panic signing, and it's probably not something that we're going to want to stick with in the long term in terms of like the obvious quality that's needed for Chelsea. So for me, that was like another really, really big issue there in particular. So for me, it's always been that right wing, right back, and that actual midfield issue. So I feel like in terms of where we are this season, I'm not exactly surprised, because I personally, I had us fifth, you know, this season. So being eighth, obviously, I don't think is good enough. And I'm not really surprised that we've fallen this far back, because when you look at what our squad is like now and you compound out of the injuries, I was reading today, we have the most injuries in the Prem. So I'm not really surprised by where we are. And the only thing I do hope for going forward is there's a lot less reliance on us trying to just solely rely on like players, if that makes sense. I feel like we need to have a more balanced squad whereby we're not having to rely on, we're not relying on Reece James to pull something out of the bag, you know, because we've got a right winger that's also been able to support Reece James if he's having a bad day, or if the left winger is having a bad day. You know, we've also got another DM that if Jorginho has these mental lapses and he can't play, he can come in, you know, and offer something else. We've got midfielders that are available throughout a season that can play more than 20, that can start more than 20 games. I don't think we've had a centre mid since Sarri, who's actually started more than 20 league games, I believe. So
with the squad as well, yeah, under Tuchel, our better games and our better periods would come when James and Kante kind of, they come back, they got a run of games, whatever, and they performed well. Even when Kante wasn't even at top level, let's just say, like, we're not even talking like the Champions League run level. We're just talking about just a good Kante performance, yeah, just changes this team. Do you understand? Because he's that good. Like, a good Kante performance is better than anything else that, like, and as much as I love Loftus-Cheek, like, it's different, innit? Do you understand? Like, Kante good and Loftus-Cheek good is completely different. Like, do you understand?
Yeah, and, 100% agree. Even if you look earlier this year, like, I don't know if you guys remember the West Ham game. Kante was unbelievable in that game.
This is what I'm trying to say.
His top standard, you know?
Exactly. And last season, even under Tuchel, yeah? Even in games where we had Kante, we were still going through this thing of, like, you know, 0-0 for like a good amount of the game. Like, obviously, this is due to more to the attackers, but even Kante could not do enough to like get us over the line like that. And then we had also James in it to play these games where it would be him that maybe produce a bit of magic or produce a bit of top quality. That kind of, like, even let's just say, yeah, Newcastle game. Yeah, we're talking about Newcastle game. We spoke about this briefly before we started. Yeah, Newcastle game last season, we probably had a bit more control, and I've heard Mies talk about this as well. Like, under Tuchel, I think on the main pod he said that we had a bit more control, and I 100% agree. We did have a bit more control. I think due to many factors as well, not just his coaching, but we talked about the partnership at the back. They were comfortable. They were a partnership in the midfield. I think there was more of Kante, Jorginho, and Kovacic. Again, more familiarity, more of a partnership. Do you understand?
I think that game, it was Jorginho and Kovacic, though, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, against Newcastle, it was definitely Kante and Jorginho. I remember that game because I think I've watched it back. It was Chilwell, Jorginho, Kante, Reece, then Ziyech, Hudson,
and the home game.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm trying to say. Even in those games, yeah, that Newcastle game, yeah, it was 3-0. But let's not forget that Newcastle game was a tough game. Not until Reece James, I think it was, wasn't it second half when Reece James scored the banger with his left foot?
No, was it? I think they were both in the second half.
Were both, because I remember he had the two goals when he had the chance to get the hat-trick, and then Jorginho got the penalty.
But this is what I'm trying to say, and it's like, without Kante and James right now, yeah, this team is nowhere near the level it needs to be, because... And yeah, we might produce here and there performances where we perform without them, but I've seen enough to know, even under Tuchel, without Kante and James, this team is 100% struggling. Because if we go through our attackers even now, people were complaining that Sterling was playing wing back, and I don't agree with the whole Sterling playing wing back thing under Potter, but I also know that it's not necessarily that proper wing back where you're doing all that defensive work, hence why we were so open. Like, I remember people saying, oh, you know, why do we look so open? It's because Sterling isn't actually playing like a wing back, he's actually playing like a winger. But you know, we're open though, innit? So it's bad. I'm not saying it's good, it's bad, but if you look at the attack, the reason why he's doing that is because even if you look at the attack and you look at your attacking players, why do we have no width? We have nothing. We have no width, bro. Like, I'm looking at the attack here. I'm thinking we've signed 6-7 attackers. Why have we not got one demonic winger? Like, we have... Why am I... I'm watching Fulham, yeah? And I don't even like Willian. Means will tell you, I hate Willian, bro. I would never say, Willian, come back to my club. You're better than all these attackers. I don't care about that shit. But I'm watching Willian and I'm thinking, when's the last time I seen a Chelsea player, like a Chelsea attacker, get the ball and do something like this? Because we don't have no width. We don't have anybody that's direct, aggressive. Like, none of that. And right now, in this league, right now, when you look at all the teams that are doing well, yeah? Let's even look at Newcastle. People talking about Almiron right now, yeah? One of the biggest changes that I've seen him doing this season, the guy is fearless, bro. He's picking up the ball and he's just running at you. He's just running at you. Straight away, he's running at you. They've got guys that don't even have end product that are more threatening than our attackers just because they run at you, bro. ASM, his end product isn't even that great. But he's chaotic, bro. Like, he runs at you. He's going to make something happen. We don't even have that at the bare minimum. The bare minimum. We don't have that. What's Gallagher going to do when he gets the ball? He needs to turn. He needs to do whatever. He needs to be on the end of things. Mount is kind of similar, where you prefer him to be on the end of things, because really and truly, sometimes, even when he's on the ball, he doesn't give you the quality that you need. You look at Pulisic. Pulisic was the guy I said that should come on straight away against Newcastle, because he was the only guy I could think of that would get the ball, turn, and actually try and go at him. Like, try and go at the defence. But even then, I know that Pulisic isn't always that great at even doing that. So then, it's like, right, we've only got Sterling, who, again, in his recent years, has become a player where he's been more efficient being on the end of things. So it's like, but I'm a believer that Sterling can do what I'm saying, though, like, in terms of getting the ball and going past the man. I just think he is in a bad moment, like, right now. Because under Tuchel, he had two or three games where I remember watching it and thinking, right, I ain't seen this in a while. And he beat 2-3 players and he was in the box. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like,
what
the word balance.
I would say, though, and I think, because I'm trying to remember the last time. So last time, Newcastle away last season. To be fair, they weren't the Newcastle of this current iteration. I don't think Eddie Howe was there. It might have been early doors, right? And this generally, Newcastle away is a tough fixture. Any season. But last season, I'm 1,000,000% sure it wasn't a difficult fixture. It may be down to Kante and Reece James. Like, it may have been down to them. You know what I mean? Obviously, Reece James scored the 2 goals. But when I mean control, I don't think it was just like we just had loads of the ball. And Ziyech looked half decent. You know what I mean? Ziyech looked half decent. Like, we gave them problems all game. I don't think we scored in the first half. I think it was 0-0 in the first half, and then we took the game away from them. But I'm telling you, like, I think, I don't know what it is, yeah? I think the end of Tuchel's tenure has definitely changed the perception as to how generally games used to go under Tuchel. Because, bro, about 90% of the games were in control. And 90% of the games were creating chances. 90% of the games were in the final third and causing people havoc, but we just can't put away the goal. I remember there was a game against Burnley, bro, that I think we drew the game 1-1.
We should have battered them.
And that was... That sort of feeling was so symptomatic of a Tuchel Chelsea. That, like, we just couldn't get the ball in the net, no matter the amount of shots, no matter what. Like, we're making the keeper look like he's having a worldie, but we're just not putting it in corners. Like, it was so frustrating. So that Newcastle game, I'm 1,000,000% sure. And I'll check the stats, like, after the pod. But
now, you know what it is, me?
I'm almost certain we had over 60, 70% possession. We had hella shots, but...
No, but...
You know what?
My thing is, it's not even about like that. We didn't control it like that much under Tuchel. Like, I know we controlled loads of games, like well as well, like in terms of possession, in terms of dominating. But what I'm trying to say is, even in those games, though, sometimes you still felt like, oh, if a goal, like you still felt like if the opportunity came and like you still felt like we could draw or lose the game.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because we didn't get enough. And what I'm saying is now, this season, where some of these teams, like you said, that Newcastle wasn't even the same Newcastle. Now they got Bruno G. He's settled. He's easily one of the best midfielders in the league. You've got a revitalized like Almiron, and then you've got what's his name scoring goals as well. And when teams are in those moments, and then you've got us who are kind of, we've lost our two best players. We've lost a couple of guys that we've signed that we thought were going to be big players for us this season as well. And then it's like, right now, it's just the moment that we're in right now as well. And I'm not making an excuse for Potter. I still think he's got a lot of things wrong. Don't get me wrong at all. But I'm just saying, with these teams that we're playing at the moment, like an Arsenal who are so settled, also better, even though we lost to them as well last season. Like, it's like, bro, I just feel like some of these games, I don't even see how you could think that another result was going to happen when some of the games last season, I still felt like we could have lost those games. And I'm not saying that's okay, but I'm just saying it just says a lot about where this squad is at right now.
Are you saying if there's anything
I'm positive about, yeah. And
I was just going to say, if
there's anything I'm positive about. Go on, Meads.
No, I said go on, bro.
All right, yeah. If there's anything that I'm positive about in the whole thing with Potter and all these people coming in, it is what Babs is saying in terms of trying to get back to like this place where we can create a structure and a proper balanced squad where we focus on some of the things that we've all talked about. So like spending these money on these guys that are coming in and not giving us enough compared to maybe what these youngsters are going to give us. So like, for example, if we didn't have Pulisic, but he was out there on the market and they were talking about 50 million, 58 million for Pulisic, would we, like now under this new setup that we're going to have, because they even here yet, they even started working for us yet properly. But like under this new setup that we have, will they look at a Hutchinson first before they go and get a Pulisic? Do you understand? Because that's what I'm kind of hoping. I'm hoping it kind of goes down that route where we start to build a little bit more like that and also go to get players that are position specific as well, like not just based on our name and potential all the time and all of this kind of stuff. Because I feel like that's how we often get into these situations as well. See what I'm saying? And yeah, man, I'm just fed up with the way we've been, like last few seasons, it just feels like the way we've been building the squad is just so bonkers. Like it's just, this was always coming. It's just so happened that it's fallen under like Potter's management as well, where like people like Kante and that and James are also like injury prone, but they're our best players. It's like it's gonna be tough for him this season, massively.
I mean, I hear you. You know, I don't disagree. I feel like the squad planning and a lot of the signings I've been against. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know me. I've always said that I'm not a big fan of buying players for the sake of it. I can't stand that kind of shit. It's poor. And I say that because I always knew that these moments like this will happen as a result. You know what I mean? What I would say is that...
You're just not sure he's the guy.
It's just... It's not even like... just for me, it's not even Potter per se. Like, I feel like half of our problems disappear if our attack's good. I really do. I feel like half of our problems disappear if our attack is good. You know what I mean? And I just feel like at this moment in time, if all we're going to do is add more players to this mess, we're just going to keep finding ourselves in the same thing. You know what I mean? No matter the new recruiters we're bringing in, no matter the new structure and board that we're getting in place, no matter what, that we're going to find ourselves in this situation again. Like if we're going to make the same mistakes. You know what I mean? This is just going to happen again. And I'm just hopeful that Potter recognises this before it's too late, because he will lose his job otherwise, in my opinion.
Very well put. And to end the pod, I just want to talk a bit about was gonna say, yeah, so to end the podcast, we'll talk a bit about some of the new signings and how they've settled in so far, and our current thoughts on them. So starting from the back, Kalidou Koulibaly, he's had a bit of a rough time in the last couple of games. You know, the City game, not jumping to block the free kick, you know, against Newcastle, having a very, very tough time against, you know, Miguel Almiron. So I wanted to come with you first, Timpson, because I don't think I've heard your opinion on Koulibaly and his signing. So what were your thoughts on him when we first brought him in, you know, in terms of the player that we're bringing in, and where do you currently, how do you currently feel that signing has gone so far?
So my initial impression of the signing and my thoughts on the signing now are different. I thought not too dissimilar from Tony Rudiger in terms of ability and experience. And it seemed like there was some progression planning with Thiago Silva in mind to have Koulibaly come in, give him that lengthy contract for a guy over 30. But I think when I think about Koulibaly, two things come to mind that are concerns. So his ability to lunge into challenges, I think that's evident for everyone to see. And then I'm often on the ball, I'm reminded of something Yaya Toure said in La Liga. He said he had 8 to 9 seconds on the ball before he got closed down. And in the Premier League, he'd be lucky if he got 3 seconds on the ball before being closed down. And I feel like the speed of the game in England is something that he's still not come to terms with, which is an issue because he needs to sort that out. Because Thiago Silva, although he started to make mistakes because I think he's being overplayed and his age is starting to show, he's still showing that he's a Rolls Royce of a defender. And we've got players like Shalaba who've been more consistent than him, who I believe have leapfrogged him in the pecking order. And you've still got Fofana who has all the potential ahead of him, and he's a £70 million signing. So he's definitely one for the future. So he needs to buck up his ideas, really. But ultimately, to answer the question, somewhat disappointed because I hoped he would be able to hit the ground running given his age, his experience and his ability. And it's just not worked out that way.
Fairly put. I'm going to come over to you, Jay, as well. So obviously, you know, he's come in, you know, with a big fee. You know, he's currently 31 years of age. So he's got a load of experience. So Where do you see us going in terms of like the defense? Do you think he's going to be a mainstay? Would you want him to be a mainstay? And just how have you thought of him so far in the Chelsea shop?
I'll start off with what I think about him. I think on the ball, I've seen a lot of what I expected from him anyway, in terms of like how progressive he is, how forward like thinking he is with his passing and that. Like I've enjoyed watching him on the ball at times. Well, most of the time, but I think this kind of like he's a very front-footed defender, isn't he? He likes to anticipate when the ball's coming in, and similar to how Silva does it, like he tries to get there first and early. Obviously, Silva's much better at it because some of the times I see this guy try and run in and try and nick the ball, he's almost like he's getting there like a second too late, and he's either having to like foul. He's either having to commit like a cynical foul, or he's like struggling to obviously get back after that because everybody's so sharp in this league. And I think that is where he has struggled massively. I think in Italy, you do that, and you know, a lot of the time you're probably getting away with it. I wouldn't say in the last couple of seasons, because I think Serie A has been actually quite kind of mad the last couple of seasons. But for his majority of the time there, I think if he's been defending like that, he would have probably got away with a lot because I just don't think they're as busy, they're as quick, as sharp. Like the Premier's are so fast paced. And you know, you see a random guy that you ain't never seen before, but he turn and burn you same way because it's the Premier. So I'm sure when Aronson rattled him, he is probably thinking, I ain't never seen this guy before, but he is giving me probably one of the most horrific games ever. Mm. So like I think in that sense, I think he's got a lot to do. In terms of adapting, but he said that in an interview as well. Yeah. Like he told all the Chelsea fans. He said in his interview when he signed, he said it will take me time to adapt to the league. He's like, you won't see the best version of me probably this season. So he actually knows it himself. So in terms of like that as well, I'm not really worried about him. But my initial partnership, which I was like excited about. And I everybody knows my love for Colwell, and that I've been saying it from time, from like when I saw him get to the playoffs and that, and I seen his season, I watched his games. I said, just start the kid, bro. Just start the kid, because him and Fofana, for me, in terms of a future partnership, I think that's just a no-brainer for me personally. So, yeah. In terms of if he's going to be a mainstay in the future, boy, if Colwell comes back, he might have something to say about that still. But we'll see.
We'll see indeed. And rather than Koulibaly, I want to talk to you about Cucurella. So for me personally, although he hasn't been as good as what I think he can be, I think he's actually been quite harshly done by some fans.
Yeah.
Not just because of the judgment of performance, but for me, more so the fact that when you look at Cucurella and he's coming with an injury for one, so he hasn't really been able to set out in that regard. And then secondly, he struggled a bit this season in terms of illnesses. So that consistency in terms of his fitness levels and the ability for him to like play his natural game, I feel like he's gonna suffer for that. So I want to get your thoughts on Cucurella and where you think he could potentially improve, you know, in terms of his game at Chelsea.
I mean, I want to just say something on Koulibaly, because I think Jay did actually touch on it briefly. It's just going to be a brief one.
Of course, go for it.
I'll move on to Cucu. Koulibaly, I think Jay is right. I feel like he definitely, a player that's front-footed and aggressive, he commits. And committing's fine. Having commitment, full commitment is great, in fact, for a defender. But when you are overcommitting and not getting there, it leaves your team susceptible to being hurt badly. and I wouldn't say that, like, even in the times where it's not been punished, it's happened. He will get the cynical foul, may get a silly yellow here and there, which puts him on thin ice for the rest of the game. And it gets you nervous because, you know, he's going to play his game same way, you know what I mean? But what I would say is that I'm not particularly worried, because, you know, even an elite defender like Thiago Silva and Frank Lampard looked a little bit shaky at times. And again, that's because of the speed, you know. By and large, the speed of the game is very, very different here. But once he was put into a structure that was, you know, befitting of a top player or befitting of a top team, Thiago Silva looked like the Rolls Royce defender that he actually is. Obviously, structurally, even under Tuchel this season, we've looked a bit of a shambles. So obviously, you're not really going to see the best version of Koulibaly generally, because he's not up to speed in terms of sharpness. Familiarity with this league, it still needs to take some time to adjust. And there's just the structure of the team is quite a bit of a mess at the moment. And where you're not familiar with your surroundings, your teammates, and knowing exactly when you should be front forward or when he could be a little bit more reserved, he's not at this moment in time, doesn't really know. It's like Rudiger when he first came, super aggressive at times, and he'll cost us, you know what I'm saying? So he'll learn. I think he's a quality player, he'll learn. But again, if it persists, then we've always got quality in the background lurking. Like I said, Levi Colwell, and I've said this for time, this kid's the real deal. The real, real deal, you know what I mean? So if Koulibaly ain't up to it, Colwell is. I know that for facts, you know what I'm saying? So that's Cooley. In terms of Cucurella, completely agree with you, Babs. I think a lot of circumstances have played a part in his, not poor form, but his up and down form. I think he's had some really good games, but then I also think he's had some really poor games. And I think at this point, you know, I don't know. I don't know where best you use him. Because I think a left wing back when he was playing under Tuchel, I thought it was really good, man. One thing that you didn't get from him was that real goal threat, that penetration in an attacking sense from him. Obviously, you got the penetrative passing to open up the play, which is great because you could dominate. But in terms of like a threat going forward, especially in a team that lacks attacking threat, it becomes an issue. Now, is it so much an issue if your attack's sorted? No. But this is what I was saying before. If you fix that attack, so many of your requirements, demands on other players shifts. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be looking at Chilwell for goals. I'm not going to be looking at Chilwell to be getting the goals and assists. I'm not going to be looking at Reece James to get that. I'm not going to be looking at midfielders to get that. I'll be fully reliant upon the attack, and then those other guys can supplement. So if they get it or not, it's a positive. You know what I mean? So I think, hopefully, if Potter gets in the attack as he wants and gets us attacking as the front three, getting them playing well, attacking well, then I think the perceptions on Cucurella will change, because I think he's a very, very good player, very good defender. He isn't the fastest, but, you know, he's very, very sharp. So I think, yeah, I think he'll be okay. I rated him before. I still rate him now. I don't think I've seen anything to really change my mind in regards to that. What I've seen of him is what I really expected, barring, you know, the a bit. Sometimes he can be a little bit shoddy, but I think that's by and large down to his fitness and health, to be honest.
Very, very, very much well agreed. And before we end, I want to talk briefly about the recruitment. You know, so obviously a big thing has been made out about the fact that, you know, we're bringing in a whole new recruitment arm. So in comparison to where we were with Abramovich, where we had more of like a committee where you had the chairman, the chairperson, the marina, and then you had checking, you know, bringing in input. I feel like now we're having a bit more specific in terms of like what we're actually doing, you know, in terms of like having more set out roles. And I think there may be a worry there in terms of like having too many cooks in the kitchen. But I know we spoke about it briefly, Jay, and I know you wanted to give your thoughts on it during the pod. So I'm going to leave the floor open to you now to go for it.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I think, to be fair to Chelsea, yeah, even under the old regime, I think there was a time where we were actually really good with getting in like a lot of the talents and getting in, you know, decent young players and stuff like that. But I think one thing that I think I've heard Meads talk about a lot as well, like in the past, about how we judge certain young players and you know, like the way we kind of organise the whole thing for their pathway and stuff like that. That has always been, and it's always just seemed like so messy. And I feel like, I know he got a lot of stick for it when he had the press conference, Todd Bowley, about when he was speaking about KDB and Salah. But obviously, I don't think he was genuinely talking about that, them being in our academy. I think he's just saying that, you know, the club's had young players here that are top, top talents. And for some reason or another, they just don't end up getting given the chance. And we've always said, I think the majority of us as Chelsea fans, like in Chelsea are anyway, we've always said it's more of a thing of opportunity enough so that we can know that they can't make it here. Do you understand? And we do need to go out and get somebody rather than just not even kind of explore that option of finding out whether they're a good enough player or not. And that for me is where I'm excited about this whole kind of new structure, because Todd's made it clear as well, it's not just going to be about the Chelsea team. It's going to be about, you know, the youth team, the women's team. It's about even just getting, players going to like another club if we're owning another club. So I think it's a much bigger project than maybe some Chelsea fans think. So that is why there's probably a lot of people also in the team. But they're also going to have like specified roles as well. And I think if they all come together and they work well, I think I'm a firm believer that if it works well, Chelsea will be able to be at the forefront of pretty much like blooding through a lot of the top talents in the world, not just in England, I think in the world, because Chelsea have always had pool to get top talents. Like, we've always had it. You see all these pictures of like, you hear all these articles about Mbappe being here when he was 14 and all this kind of stuff. So my thing is like, if Chelsea have this team and they have these guys and they're as good as, you know, people have said they are we going to start seeing these kind of talents that are coming to us so early being spotted and being kind of, you know, backed a little bit more rather than, you know, letting some of them go? I know it's hard to judge players at 14, 15. I'm not saying it's easy, but, you know, that's why these guys get paid the big money, innit? Like, they're the ones that spot these guys. Do you understand? So, and I think the one of the most positive things I've heard in the whole of, like, this kind of setup is Neil Barth being given a role to kind of have his say on the first team, because I think he's probably had a lot to say about a lot of the youngsters that haven't been given an opportunity at Chelsea Football Club. And I think, you know, it will be nice to see how it kind of goes with the next kind of batch of young talent coming through at Chelsea. Like, because obviously now we've got like Carney and we've got Kasede from Inter Milan. We've got quite a few like guys now, Hutchinson. So it's going to be very interesting to see like what the new team and new and how the new structure goes with all these kids like so close to like first team ages. Because now 18, 19, 20, you shouldn't be shocked to see an 18-year-old in the starting lineup. That's why I was so happy about Lewis Hall playing, because I feel like out of all the statements that have been made about like by managers and youth players playing, I feel like that was a massive statement to play Lewis Hall. Do you understand? Like to play him against City and then to play him against Newcastle. Yeah, granted Chilwell's injured, so it probably makes it a little bit easier. But still though, to trust him so early and for him to produce the way he has, I think it was just a big statement in terms of, you know, how we might move forward and how we might be looking at things in terms of these youngsters. So, but in general, I just want the structure to be right. I want the squad to be balanced. I want, you know, the kids at Cobham, especially first, that to get opportunities, and obviously the other kids that come from abroad or whatever, same thing. If they're a good enough talent, then 100%. Like, I'm not scared of a young team playing for Chelsea. Like, I know experience is important, but I also think like creating a team that grows together, that can kind of create chemistry together and build together, I think that's just as important in a title winning team. So even if it takes a couple seasons to get there, or you know, 3 seasons to get there, it might be something that you start that you can then refresh little by little as you go along. Do you get what I'm saying? And then you kind of stay at the top rather than just be good 1 year, shit the next, good 1 year, shit the next. I'm kind of done with that whole thing now. So I'm hoping that's where it takes us.
Very well put. And I think that structure point you made was very, very important, because I think one of them Chelsea fans' biggest problems has been this discarding mentality, whereby I feel like we see a youth player get a debut and it's like, okay, he's got to perform now to prove that he deserves a chance to have an opportunity here at Chelsea. I mean, if he doesn't perform well, when he can go. You know, I feel like that's been a really, really big issue. And I feel like having a Neil Barth, you know, on the board in terms of like recruitment and transfers, I feel like that's going to be important, just in terms of having that kind of guy that's going to be in the youth players' corners, you know, to also fight their fight. So before we end the podcast, Means Timpson, do you have any closing thoughts?
Potter's not going anywhere anytime soon, so I'll just try and keep an open mind and see what he does when the World Cup break ends and we go back to it.
Boy. Like Timpson said, he's not going anywhere, so might have to suffer for a long time.
That means you're going to have to back him anyway, man, because Cho's going to be back, bro. He's be back.
I don't have to back no one. Even if Cho's back, bro, I don't have to back no one. Like, if I don't rate, I ain't going to rate it. Like, I'll just sit back and watch. Bro, what I'm seeing, if it don't improve, I can't support it. I can't back it.
I do agree though that after the World Cup we do need to see some sort of improvement. I do agree with that. That is, I think we all agree on that. Like that, we can't be as
if we get clapped against Forest, and then we're playing Forest,
Bournemouth,
then
it's Liverpool, I think.
No, sorry. Then it's Bournemouth. It's Bournemouth. It's Bournemouth. And then we play City. Oh, then Palace. So boy, we'll see in it. We'll see. It could be a very, very, like I said it in the group chat, they thought I was crazy. I said we could be 14th by the 7th of January. And people think it's a joke. But let's see what the loyalists are saying when we're 14th. You know what I mean? Because I remember people saying, yeah, well, I'll go down with Lampard. I'm like, all right, bro. Let's see. We'll see what we're saying. The drop off. Yeah, and I'm gonna be real. The drop off. When are we gonna start actually being real? Yeah, the drop off between Tuchel and Potter. Like, if we end up, like, if we say 14th, 15th, and we finish third last season, the drop off. If we were to end up 14th or something like that, when are we gonna say that's unacceptable? When are we going to actually come up and say, yeah, nah, that's unacceptable? When are we going to actually stand up and say that? Because we could talk about trust in the process, but fair enough, processes should take place and they should be allowed to form. But 14th? Yeah. Boy, let's see.
Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see to see if that actually does happen. But again, guys, thanks for listening. We'll have some World Cup content for you guys coming out very, very soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But again, thanks for listening. Don't forget to use the hashtag and peace.
Peace.
He done it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club. European champions. They've beaten Bayern in their own backyard. They've found the Holy Grail after a venture fraught with danger. And Drogba may never play for Chelsea again. He will never be forgotten. He's in form.
Just came back from the to find a way through.
Brilliant run by Eze! Oh, that is absolutely phenomenal!
That's more like Kante. They do threads on Twitter and ranting. Doing the most. True say that money is power, so when you get money, keep quiet and ghost. Ghost. I remember when I shot my shot, but I didn't have guap, so I hit the post. But next time, it's a golden goal. And it...
Sports Social Podcast Network.